Governor Walker's budget repair bill would cut most collective bargaining rights for state and local public employees while making them pay more for health care benefits and pensions. The Joint Finance Committee, following an all-day hearing on the bill yesterday, is expected to vote on the measure later today. And that aspect of the budget repair bill is our big question debate this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 16th. Do you support or oppose this effort? We will welcome the points that you would like our two guest lawmakers to address during our big question debate, and we will open the lines for you to sound off during a straw poll on air at the end of the debate at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There is also an online poll that we invite you to vote in. It is connected to the Facebook page and is also available at WPR.org, our website, WPR.org. Let me welcome our very tired guests. Glenn Grothman is a Republican state senator from West Bend and a member of the Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much. I know that you were up and at 'em taking testimony during the Joint Finance Committee hearing on the bill until about 3 o'clock in the morning. So we appreciate you joining us just a few hours later.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Joy.
Also joining us is Mark Pocan, a Democratic state representative from Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Now, you're not sitting on the committee this year, but I take it you were probably up late, at least witnessing some of this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been a very energizing day with lots of people standing up for every worker in Wisconsin. So we're glad to be part of it.
Well, I am obligated to disclose before we start that as an employee of Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, I would be affected by this portion of the bill. That being said, Senator Grothman, were you at all impressed, surprised, shocked by the size of the crowds that came there to demonstrate yesterday? It's estimated 10,000 people were outside the state capitol and another 3,000 inside.
No, really not at all. You've got to remember Madison is in Madison's the state capital of Madison of the state of Wisconsin, which means you have tens of thousands of state employees. You have the university less than a mile away, and there were many, many teaching assistants as well as students in the area. So the idea that over noon or later that night you could get 8,000 or 10,000 people who don't want to have to pay a higher share of their employee pension, that they don't want to pay a higher share of their health insurance, that's not really surprising.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Representative Pocan?
Well, as laughable as all that was, you know, I have never seen anything in my 12 years that has brought that many people to the Capitol with such a unified voice. And, you know, the talking points that Senator Grothman's telling you about paying a little more for their pension or health care is the least of the issues. The issue is you're taking away workers' collective voices, their ability to collective bargain, their ability to bargain over safety and workplace conditions, their ability to even have a union. These are all things that are being attacked in this Trojan horse that Scott Walker has put out there under the guise of a budget problem we have that we just found out this week from the nonpartisan fiscal bureau to be utterly false. We've been lied to by Governor Walker, and now under this Trojan horse, they're putting a whole bunch of nationally conservative bad ideas out there and trying to change the way we treat workers in Wisconsin. So I was impressed seeing that many people understanding the lies that are being presented to them.
Tell us, before I get Senator Grothman to respond, Representative Pocan, why you say that there isn't a budget emergency, that this is there's a guise, there's lies.
Well, you know what we found out? Everyone's been repeating this $3.6 billion deficit number we have in the next budget. Well, you know, I'm glad we finally started taking a look at where that was coming from, and I spent extensive time talking to Bob Lang, the head of the Fiscal Bureau, about this. It's based on $3.9 billion in agency requests, which is a 6.2% spending increase. We have never, not a single person in the legislature would approve every single agency request at its full level. In fact, in the last budget, we were less than zero in GPR that we put into these programs. So what he's doing is setting up a number that we never, ever would have used anyway. It's just an agency request as part of that $3.6 billion so that he can come in and try to be the Superman to save us. In reality, it's like the balloon boy. You know, he never was up in that balloon, and we found out later he was hiding, just watching all the media attention. That's what Scott Walker's doing. He's trying to get a name for himself nationally with the conservative movement, and we're all paying a price while he's lying to the people of Wisconsin. And I think it's time that we stand up and say, you can't put all these bad ideas out there under the guise of trying to save us, because we don't need that same amount of saving. I'm not saying there's not a budget situation like there is in every other state, but we have moved to middle of the pack of the budget deficit to our percent of our budget, and is far less than what he's telling us, and we just need to get some truth.
Senator Grossman, the deficit is based on budget requests, and it's
No. We've been talking about, you're maybe familiar with the phrase, structural deficit. We have over a $3 billion structural deficit that we've been talking about for quite some time. There are other things that have been coming up that make that deficit worse. We have a problem with the reciprocity agreement with the state of Minnesota. We're going to have a problem with repaying that the court's going to order us to do. Repay the patient's compensation fund. We are having re-estimates of the amount of money that we owe Badger Care, which is a program for the poor and middle class people in the state of Wisconsin. All these things add up to over a $3 billion problem, not counting agency requests for the year beginning in July. But of course, as we all know, part of the problem is we have a crisis between now and June 30th. When Representative Pocan says we don't have to do anything, I think that's technically true. Technically, we don't have to do anything until June 30th. But when you're facing a budget deficit of that size, you better act right now so that you don't go into the next cycle in the red.
Let me ask you to start, Senator Grossman, why is it necessary to strip public employees of their collective bargaining rights in this bill?
Due to the huge crisis we have in this state, it's important to make government more efficient. And if you talk to people at almost every level of government, you're in a situation in which when you begin to negotiate things like what I guess I'll refer to as work rules, you have to negotiate asking one employee to do something differently than they used to do, that sort of thing. So on any level of government, be it the county level of government, the city level of government, or school districts, it's certainly going to be easier in the next budget to deal with the huge problems that these local units of government are going to have to deal with if you don't have to negotiate with the union. Now, we're not getting rid of the unions altogether, don't get me wrong, but as far as negotiating over things like work rules or negotiating where you get your health insurance from, where you get your the amount that you have to contribute towards your pension, that has got to end, and it's going to have to end, obviously, because the state will not be giving as much money. We will not have as much money to run the state itself, but we're not going to be able to give as much money to local units of government, as well as the university. I think this is fairly obvious. I haven't seen Governor Walker's budget proposal, but given the mess we're in, I think it's fairly obvious that all these different entities are going to be getting less money than they have in the past. And if you get that much less money, you have to be able to assign your employees to do what you feel is the best thing for them to do, without going through a union negotiation.
Representative Pocan.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't even know where to begin with the utter misinformation that was put out there. But the bottom line is what they're going to keep saying, because they know the only thing that people really agree with them on in their entire proposal is that people are probably going to pay a little more on their pensions and health care. But then to go the extra steps that say you can't bargain on anything but your wages, that you're not going to be able to form a union the way you do, that you're going to have to every year get recertified. I mean, these are all national far-right talking points put out that they did in New Jersey. Now they're trying to do here in Ohio, that it's really part of the national conservative movement to crush workers. And, you know, to allow that to happen in Wisconsin, a state that we've had the law on the books for over half a century with Democrat and Republican governors that have kept peace with the public, with workers, and had a good quality state. We're not the South. You know, we're very proud of what we have. And then to take it away just because, you know, there was an article in the Washington Post saying this new conservative trio of Paul Ryan, Reince Priebus, and Scott Walker are reforming the state. I mean, this is purely about ego and conservative politics at a national level, and it's an attack on workers so that they can gain this. It's nothing to do with the budget repair, and I've got to totally disagree with Senator Grossman. Again, the nonpartisan fiscal bureau, who we almost always say, you know, that they give us the most accurate information, has said we have not met the statutory trigger to have to do this. So this is being done, and yet the legislature in the first month, we've put out tax credits for $142 million of decreased revenue in the next budget. It just completely shows that we have a duplicity of message, that we're doing one thing for our wealthy friends to provide tax breaks, and then we're really hurting the workers of Wisconsin. And I think people have to stand up at every level because we cannot let this happen to the state.
Senator Grossman.
Well, as your listeners perhaps are aware, as far as tax breaks for the rich, what we do need here is some sort of tax breaks for business. The whole reason one of the reasons we have a budget crisis in this state is that income tax revenues were down. We have a bad business climate in this state. We're never going to get government back on a good footing until more people are employed and employed in better paying jobs. So it is true that the state legislature has already passed some cuts to business taxes, and I would hope that we're going to have more cuts to business taxes in the budget that Governor Walker is going to introduce next Tuesday. And we just have to do that to improve the business climate. As far as the legal requirement to bring the legislature in for what we call a mini budget, that's true. We haven't met necessarily the legal requirement, but there is such a huge deficit going into next year that it'd be fiscally irresponsible not to do something at this time.
Glenn Grossman is a Republican state senator from West Bend. He also sits on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And Mark Polkan is a Democratic state representative from Madison. They are our two big question debaters this hour. Today's big question is whether or not we support or oppose Governor Walker's budget repair bill, the portion of it that would cut bargaining rights for public employees while making them pay more for health care benefits and pensions. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be partly to mostly cloudy and mild today with highs in the 40s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 16th. We are talking about Governor Walker's budget repair bill that goes before the Joint Finance Committee today for a vote following a marathon public hearing yesterday at the state capitol. Thousands of public employees and their supporters rallied at the state capitol in opposition to the bill yesterday. And we are talking with two state lawmakers who will be voting on this, at least eventually. Glenn Grossman is on the Joint Finance Committee, Republican state senator from West Bend, and Mark Polkan, Democratic state representative from Madison, also with us. We have many callers, and I'm sure we'll get to as many as we can in just a moment. But Senator Grossman, you will be voting yes on this bill in the Joint Finance Committee later today?
Yes, I intend to.
Yeah, it was announced before the hearing or right around the time of the hearing yesterday that there were enough Republican votes to pass this budget repair bill. Nothing you heard yesterday changed your mind?
Well, no. I mean, we heard the type of testimony that you would expect to hear. I think some of it was a little melodramatic. I think a lot of the testimony was from teachers who were teachers and teaching assistants. Somewhat worried about collective bargaining rights and complaining that they wouldn't have enough money. But when I think of all the constituents that I have who've been laid off, who've been asked to take big cuts in pay, businesses that have gone under, I think asking people to have a 8-10% reduction in take-home pay, including myself, by the way, any reduction in benefits is going to include myself, I don't think is out of line. I mean, I think Governor Walker has said that he would rather keep as many people employed in this state and have everybody take a mild cut in pay than being the layoff people.
Yeah, why should Representative Pocan, someone in the private sector who's paying maybe more for benefits and struggling through this economy, feel sorry for public employees right now?
Because the crux of this is not about paying a little more on your pension or health insurance. The crux of it is about the attack on workers and taking away their voice to collectively bargain. They're trying to keep you thinking it's just those 2 points because they know that everyone understands that's going to happen. But all the other things that are put out in this Trojan horse are what really destroy workers' rights. So when you have teachers and nurses and EMTs and people like that coming and telling you that this is going to be devastating to the jobs they do, how can you do anything but listen? So, Senator Grossman's going to vote yes. I'm going to be voting hell no.
Well, we were told by Governor Walker that if not this, maybe 6,000 state and local public employees would have to be laid off.
Put that on the list of governor's lies to the public, because it's a complete false choice. He said that 200,000 children would have to be off of Badger care. He can't even do that. He's saying 6,000 employees would be laid off. Utter nonsense. And that's the point that we have to have start debating those points. They're putting out these big scare tactic numbers, and it's not even close to true because he's lying to us about the actual amount of the budget deficit. I mean, the fact that he'll get agencies instead of 6.2% will have a 0% increase, that alone is $3.9 billion. So when the Republicans and the governor put out these lies, we have to stand up to each and every one because they want us to be afraid so they can do all these other bad things that we're actually fighting.
Yeah. Is this just a scare tactic, Senator Grothman, 6,000 employee layoffs?
Well, let's look at school districts, for example. Okay. Most of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of superintendents who have said over a period of years and now more than ever that their budgets are very tight. And even under current law, assuming they get the same funding they did in the past and get the same property tax increase they did in the past, they're talking about laying off teachers. Now, let's stop and think. If we are not going to be able to give the school districts the same amount of money we did in the past, and Governor Walker will eventually introduce his budget, he's going to introduce his budget next week, I would be surprised, very shocked, if in his budget he's going to be able to give the school districts the same amount of money he has in the past. If he doesn't, and if you're not going to have big property tax increases, it's going to mean that you're going to have less money for the schools. If you're going to have less money for the schools, and at least there's some fixed costs we're told by the schools that are going up, you are going to have to lay off teachers. You're going to have to lay off school district employees. The same thing is true of cities. The same thing is true of counties. And the same thing will be true in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not sure what the exact number is because I haven't looked how Governor Walker came up with that number, but I certainly think it's going to be in the thousands of employees if we don't do something with employee compensation and the ability to assign our employees where we want to assign our employees, not just the state, but local units of government as well.
I've got to add
yes.
this. You're going to see in the budget, when Scott Walker ran and the Republicans, they promised about $2 billion of tax cuts to the wealthy in Wisconsin. They're trying to do all this really so that when that budget comes out next week, let's see if they roll back the tax on the top wage earners in Wisconsin. Let's see if they try to roll back the tax on corporations that have out-of-state operations that don't pay any taxes in Wisconsin. If we see them start to do that, you'll know what the real mission is about. It's not about a budget deficit situation we have to do this for. They need to find money for their wealthy friends. And that's what we're guaranteed we're going to see as this budget comes out. So we have to hold them every time they say this. They're going to put out misdirection. We have to point back to the truth. And that's what we're going to do over and over.
Let me get a caller in before our news break. Gary in Racine. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Good morning. I hear schools are closed in Madison today because of teacher absences. Now, they called in sick. Remember, taxpayers, these are paid days off. These are paid sick days. Joe, you know how many sick days I get? Zero. Now, the problem with this is they scream, oh, it's about the kids. It isn't about the kids. These teachers care about kids. I'm not saying that. But it's about the cash. And the unions have collectively bargained us and raped the taxpayers year after year after year until they get 10, 12 sick days. I don't know what the numbers is. Our And it goes on and on. And what we're all taxpayers are trying to say is, look, you people have got to come back to reality now.
Let me hold you there because we're coming up on news. Representative Pocan, please respond to Gary's sentiment there. But also, yes, he is correct that the Madison schools are closed today. I'm not sure if any other districts are closed, but there were something like 2,600 absences as of last night.
Sure. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't think it was all called in sick. I think a lot of people have personal days they use because this is so important to them. It's not about the small amounts that people are going to be paying additional, because I think a lot of people expected Scott Walker to do that. It's about the complete overreach and taking away workers' voices and rights to collectively bargain. They're going to keep providing the misdirection on the other. We've got to go back to what the big Trojan horse that's coming through the door. And that's the crux of it. They're going just too far.
Let me take one more call before news. Pamela, go ahead. Pamela in Highland.
Hi. I have a question for Senator Grossman. It's kind of changed since I've been listening to the program a little bit, because it isn't necessarily about the money, though I want to tell you, I make less than $35,000 on my salary, and when I take it home after all of the benefits that I pay for and the taxes that I pay for, I have $26,000. That doesn't count the things that I pay for out of my pocket. And the things I do to support my students on my own time. And I put in, for those who think I have a summer off, more than 2,000 hours just in the school year alone, not counting the things I have to do to pay to keep my job. How many of you have to pay to keep your job in certification and credit and continual professional development?
Pamela, what was your question?
My original question is, why should 100,000 people in this state bear the burden of this deficit when we're all in this together?
All
right. The second part is, the reason that it doesn't make sense to take away our bargaining rights is because those are the rights, that those bargaining issues are things that are decided by people who have never worked in the profession.
All right, thank you very much. I'm going to get Senator Grossman to respond to that question after we check the latest news. Stay with us. More Big Question Debate after the news. We continue our Big Question Debate this hour, asking our two guest lawmakers and you whether you support or oppose the portion of Governor Walker's budget repair bill that strips most state and local public employees of their collective bargaining rights and requires them to contribute more to their pensions and health care benefits. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Wednesday, February the 16th. If you'd like to join us, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can also participate in our online poll, which is connected to our Facebook page and also available at wpr.org/Cardine. Our two guests, Mark Pocan, Democratic State Representative from Madison, and Glenn Grossman, a Republican State Senator from West Bend, who is also a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Just before our news break, we heard from a caller, Senator Grossman, who had a question specifically for you, and I'll paraphrase. Why just ask public employees to sacrifice? Why not ask everyone to sacrifice? She wanted to talk about tax increases as one way to do that.
Well, I guess the reason public employees are being singled out is because the only thing the government pays for is public employees. In the last 2 years, we've had a lot of tax increases, so we've tried tax increases. Some of those tax increases were on business, which just results in a worse business climate for the state of Wisconsin, which is part of our problem in the first place. We also had an increase in taxes on, I guess, what your caller would refer to as the rich. We have a problem right now in the state of Wisconsin in which the wealthiest citizens, which is to say the type of people who own businesses, who invest in businesses, are leaving the state, and we are attracting more people who are, quite frankly, the type of people who go on welfare. So that's part of our problem in the state of Wisconsin as well. As far as public employees being singled out, we're dealing with government budgets.
Yeah.
Okay, and just as many businesses around the state have had to deal with declining sales and have either had to lay people off or give people cuts in pay, the state is now in that situation.
Yeah, why aren't police and firefighters in those unions, why aren't they included, Senator Grossman?
Governor Walker felt, in part because of, well, in part because of kind of what we saw in the Capitol yesterday, that he wanted to have the most essential services in the state, those dealing with public safety. He did not want to take a chance that anybody connected to those unions would, say, take time off the job, as apparently we're going to see some Madison school teachers doing today.
I just got to say, I mean, first of all, state employees have already given up a lot, and I think we have to remember that public employees across the state have had no wage increases. The last contract negotiations, they're giving up $100 million in concessions. So this, you know, again, this false argument that somehow public employees are living high off the hog has got to stop. But the second thing on the police and fire, even though they're exempted by Governor Walker, they're standing with all the other workers, because what's happened in other states is first you do things like this. Then you go after the, you add next, oh, police and fire can also be included to lose their collective bargaining rights. And then you go right to work and you go after private sector, public employee unions. So we're just watching this as a progression of attack on workers.
Senator,
I'm not sure what states Representative Pocan has in mind. I can't think of any states where that's happened. If he wants to name them, he can name them.
There are governmental units that have done pieces, and then they've gone after police and fire.
Can you name one state where that's happened,
Mark? And right to work. Well, how about every right to work state? I mean, Glenn, have you ever heard of a right to work state? They clearly have gone after public, private sector unions. It's just a progression. And you've got to admit, Glenn, I mean, are you really saying that you're going to balance the entire fake budget deficit that you have through these concessions? Absolutely not. It's completely impossible.
First of all, let's go after what you're saying there. I mean, you know, I read the news every day, have for almost my entire life. I can't think of one state, not only in the recent past, but even the distant past, one state in the last 40 years where you've had that progression. So I don't think that's Governor Walker.
Well, maybe not the same order, but face it. I mean, are you telling me that you don't support a right-to-work state? Do you support right-to-work, Glenn?
It's
a yes or no.
That,
it's
but
simple.
I think it's clear that that is.
You're not going to answer that.
Pass the legislature right now, and Scott Walker's not said he's for that, and I don't see any progression there at all.
Let me.
Again, and this is part of the problem, Joy, is that we can't get the truth out of this group right now, and I think people are smarter. They see the progression that they're trying to do.
This has never happened in another
state.
People
are unifying right now and coming to the Capitol in literally the tens of thousands.
Let me ask you, we just heard a piece in our state newscast that it is expected that the Joint Finance Committee today will approve of the budget repair bill as is, with no major revisions. Representative Pocan, will Democrats in the full state legislature be able to make any amendments to this particular legislation?
Well, I mean, the Republicans have the votes. They have supermajorities, really, in both houses, so it's going to largely fall on them. The Senate, you only need to pick up 3 votes. But again, I think one of the interesting things is I'm watching Republican leadership say they have the votes. The reason they're saying that is they're trying to protect their more vulnerable members from getting additional pressure to change their minds. So, you know, I don't think calling Glenn Grossman is going to be a good use of anyone's time, because Glenn's a pretty consistent guy. He's a conservative, and he's going to vote where he is. But I think the people that have a lot of prison guards, teachers, and nurses in their districts should be contacted by all those people, as well as the general public, because they're the ones who have to look at this probably 50 or 100 to 1 people who are against it versus for it, and realize that Scott Walker may want to jump off a ledge, but if they don't jump off without a parachute, they're going to have a problem. And that's exactly why we need to keep the pressure up and call every single Republican elected official, except for Glenn Grossman, and try to effect some change, because this is a very large diversion from a half century of labor law, and I think we can have some influence if the people really call the reps.
Mary in Platteville is with us. Hello, Mary.
Hi there. Mr. Grossman pretty much answered my question about collective bargaining rights and why it's to Scotty Walker's benefit to remove them. And I believe it's clear because the next fiscal budget, which is looming overhead, will send a lower budget to your local municipalities, and it will be those local governors who will be asked asking their employees to make even more concessions, and because we will have no bargaining rights, we will have no options available to us, while Mr. Walker sits back from his bird's eye point of view watching the show because he has removed himself from that immediate argument. I would also like to ask Mr. Grossman, if he can, with the purest of heart, look into the eyes of a young person today and say, come to Wisconsin, be a public servant, where you will gain respect and the financial rewards you need to raise your family. Because, Mr. Grossman, if you believe that is possible, I believe you are mistaken.
No, I think Wisconsin is a great place to work for the government, and always will be, for the reason Wisconsin is a great place to work in the private sector. I mean, the vast majority of people in this state, in the private sector, pay for part of their pension. The vast majority of people pay more for their health insurance. And quite frankly, the majority of people, we're retaining some collective bargaining rights in this bill, but the vast majority of people in the private sector have no collective bargaining rights. So apparently your listener cannot fathom ever coming to a state in which, if you are a public employee, you pay for your pension, your unions don't have a stranglehold on government, and you pay for more of your health insurance. That's just ridiculous. Private sector attracts employees in that situation every day. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Representative Pocan?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, you know, I understand Glenn Grossman, I believe, is a full-time public servant. I don't think he has a business anymore. I still run a business. One of my fears, and I think what the caller brought up, was we're getting a reputation as an anti-employee state. And when we're trying to attract high-tech and emerging industries that have a lot of creative talent that are sought over all over the country, it's kind of hard to convince people to come to a state where we treat employees so poorly. And if that happens, we're doing all these efforts to create jobs and help the economy, and then we get this bad reputation nationally as a state you don't want to go work at. That's going to affect the economy here, and I'm afraid that that's what's about to happen with this type of provision and this type of debate.
Let me go to Beth in Green Bay. Hello, Beth.
Hi. I have a question for Senator Grossman. I'm just wondering, you were elected by the people to represent the people.
Right.
And I am wondering, what kind of comments have you received from the people in your district? Because I'm guessing that there's a public school in West Bend, and I'm guessing that there are many state and public employees. So if you are a true representative of the people and speaking for the people, how can you vote yes on this?
Well, I assume, like most public officials, when I am back in my district, I receive overwhelmingly positive comment from the man on the street. If I sit by my phone and wait to hear who calls, it is true in my district, as in other districts, that the local teachers union is ginning up calls, and I have fielded, you know, many calls, particularly from local teachers asking me to vote against this bill and some prison guards. And I think that's probably typical of what you get around the state. I think the average person understands that things cannot be as they've been before if we're going to get the state's budget in shape. But perhaps understandably, the average public employee says, vote against this bill, there's got to be another way.
Representative Pocan, do you have a sense as to public opinion statewide on this issue?
I literally, I think we had 600 emails Monday morning when we came in. And, you know, again, it's not what Glenn and others are going to tell you, a bunch of public employees contacting us. We're hearing it from people who have kids in schools because they're concerned about what that means to the quality of education. We're hearing it for people who are concerned about if you have EMTs and others who are being attacked, that are attacked under these provisions, that you're going to have safety problems. I mean, it goes much broader. And I think the fact that Glenn can't even answer after asking him three times whether or not he supports right to work shows that what the real agenda is. You know, they get this done, and then they go farther to the private sector. So I think people get it, and as much as they put out the lie, it's not working. And that's why you're seeing such a volume of contacts to offices and people coming to the Capitol in Madison.
Senator Grossman?
There's no hidden agenda, first of all. As I tried to explain to Representative Pocan, I can think of no other state where something like this happened. I mean, I don't even know the last time a state became a right-to-work state in this country. Maybe Iowa 20 years ago or something. So it's just a matter of we've got to get a handle on spending in this government, and it's hard to get a handle on spending unless you get a handle on both public employee compensation and work rules.
Let me go to Kent.
Glenn is yet to say that he supports right to work, which he does. Their own leadership has had people say they support right to work legislation. That's how we raise the issue.
Let me get Kent in Watertown on. Hello, Kent.
Yeah, I guess the question I have is if they don't pass this bill and get the spending under control. What is the solution then? Because I sit on a school board, and I'm going to tell you, we get beaten up all the time in negotiations, and we have to have some relief. Otherwise, the spending is out of control, and eventually you're not going to have anywhere near the number of teachers that you have in your district. This, one of the things that's missing here is that this, by spreading the burden over a bigger group of people, you're going to save 6,000 jobs or more here. And I can tell you, as a school district, we've already cut numerous jobs, and we don't want to have to cut any more.
What's the answer, if not this, Representative Pocan?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's representing the Republican talking points perfectly. The problem is that that's not what's true. I have served 6 years on the Joint Finance Committee, two of them as chair. I know the state budget pretty well, and I can tell you the false setting up of what the budget problem is not true in this state. There are things we can do to deal with some of the budgetary issues we have, but even if you tried to balance it on the backs of public employees, you couldn't. So you have to do things differently. The problem is they want to turn back all these, they want to lower taxes for the wealthiest. They want to take away taxes for these states that, or these businesses that hide their profits in other states. And if they do all of that, we do have a budget problem. And that's what they're trying to set their case up, is to do all the things for their friends. Now, we cannot fall for this false dichotomy that you have to lay off 6,000 workers, because no one can honestly say that's true. And I think that's the problem. They're putting this false information out, saying there's a crisis, and there isn't that level of crisis.
It was a great call, Joy. Your listener is familiar with school district budgets because he's on a school board. And he knows that even in the past, where we dealt with this crisis by raising taxes, he has had to lay off teachers. Now, what Governor Walker is going to try to do is he's going to try to get this state back on a decent fiscal footing. And in order to do that, we aren't going to be able to spend as much as we did in the past. And if we're not going to spend as much as we did in the past, we are stuck with a situation in schools as well as cities in saying either we're going to make more efficient use of our employees, which unions usually fight, or reduce the cost of compensation, including fringe benefits and pensions. And if we do that, we can get through this without having massive layoffs in the schools.
In closing, Senator Grothman, any fears that Wisconsin becomes an anti-employee state, or public employees slow down or go on strike?
No, I think if you have a strong business climate and low unemployment and a decent tax climate, that's a pro-employee state. I have never in my life, as we look around the country and see Wisconsin in worse shape than most states, both on our state budget and in our unemployment situation, I can't think of exactly a precedent of a state that's known as a bad employee state and is hurting for that reason. It seems to me when I hear people leaving the state of Wisconsin, we talk about our brain drain, to get jobs in other states. Usually those states are states like, you know, maybe Arizona or Texas or Florida, and all of those states have much weaker public employees than we do. And when our citizens graduate from UW-Madison or other universities and leave the state, usually it is to go to states like that.
Thank you, Senator Grothman. Representative Pocan, do you have any fears? I know you do about the state becoming an anti-employee state, but do you have any fears how state and local public employees might react should this pass the state legislature this week?
Well, I mean, you know, this is clearly a direct attack on public employees. And, so far I think they've done a tremendous job in getting their word out and doing it in a very civil way, and I hope that that continues. However, you know, Glenn Grothman said again, is just simply wrong. The states that we compete with on these high-tech and emergency industries is California and Massachusetts that have good labor provisions, not those southern states he mentioned. The problem we're going to have is if right now national news is showing the worker strife we're having, and if they wind up passing this sort of thing, how do you attract the high-tech and emerging industries that we need to have an economy for the next decade when people may not want to come to the state because we are seeing as anti-employee? So I think there's a real economic argument to what they're doing is going to hurt us in the long run, and all they're doing is getting these conservative talking points put into law. Scott Walker will be able to go to the next conservative convention and probably get an award, and all the public employees are going to get the shaft. And I think that's where we just have to stand up right now, draw the line. You know, it's too important. This is a half century of labor law that Democrat and Republican governors and legislatures have supported. And now suddenly to throw it away, I think, would be just a terrible, terrible idea.
Representative Pocan, thank you very much for being with us. Mark Pocan, Democratic State Representative from Madison, and Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from West Bend and a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, are two guests for The Big Question. Now it's your turn to sound off. We will get to as many of your calls as we can after this. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Do you support Governor Walker's budget repair bill, which would require public workers to pay more for their health care benefits and pensions while stripping them of most of their collective bargaining rights? That is today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org and go ahead and vote in the online poll. So far online, it's non-scientific, of course. 94% of our voters say no, they do not support this bill. 6% voted yes. Now we'll give you 30 seconds to say yes or no and why. Lenny in Madison. Hello, Lenny.
Hi. I say no, because this isn't any budget repair bill. This is nothing more than an extension of the National Republican Platform, which is to eradicate organized labor beginning in the public sector. We've been seeing it in the private sector for years, and nothing's been done about it. Nobody's really challenged them. The Democrats have even joined in, and now they're finishing off some of our best workers.
Thank you very much, Lenny. We have your no vote counted. And next we go to Richard in, I'm sorry, Richard is in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. It was our own version of Tahrir Square there yesterday when I was there. I talked to a 25-year state patrolman. He'd never seen anything like it. Senator Grothman's arrogance and cynicism drip right through the speakers of the radio. The academic staff, I believe you have a position similar to academic staff, Joy.
Yes.
Are losing all health care benefits. Read that in the bill.
No, I don't think. I think LTEs lose them, but not academic staff.
Who loses them?
LTEs, limited term employees.
Well, you know what? When what is academic staff at a college?
Well, academic staff can be full-time, and I'm full-time academic staff, so I don't, at least I don't think I'm going to lose
it. My wife is a full-time academic staff.
Well, if she's in a limited term, I'm not sure, and I'm sorry we don't have time to go into that right now. I'll ask Bill to send me something on who loses health care benefits. Next we go to Stephen in Janesville. Hello, Stephen.
Yes, I support Governor Walker's attempts to try and make Wisconsin a more employer-friendly state. We've seen business after business leave Wisconsin. There's nothing about that is benefiting the people of Wisconsin in terms of trying to find and keep employers and keep their jobs. And the prior representative was pointing to states like California and Massachusetts as being the model. Well, California is the model for a state in fiscal disaster.
Thank you very much, Stephen. 30 seconds for everybody. Scott in Wausau. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I'm totally opposed to this budget repair bill. I am a public employee, but I'm not a union employee, and it will have an impact on the economy. I have already was supposed to go on vacation next week to Bayfield. I've called and canceled that vacation. That was probably $500 or $600 I would have spent at local businesses in Bayfield, which I will not spend now.
We get it. Thank you very much, Scott. Thanks for all of your votes. You can continue voting online, WPR.org/Cardine. There's also a link to our online poll on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. By the way, the bill prohibits LTEs, or limited term employees, from being eligible for health insurance or participation in the Wisconsin retirement system. An LTE is in a limited position for a certain amount of time. An LTE could be an academic staff member, but that's the distinction, a limited term employee. By the way, we will be carrying live Governor Walker's budget address next Tuesday, February the 22nd at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we will follow up on his state budget address the next morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.